Welcome to Asimov's Spotlight. Here now, another story selected from the pages of Asimov's science fiction magazine.
Minor edits here and there. That's all Amin's doing at the clinic, tweaking painful recollections until they hurt less. If only Laura understood how much he needs those changes. Journey with Amin down a series of memory lanes in Tweak, written and read by Taimur Ahmed from our July-August issue.
Amin opened his mind and let the memory spill out. It bloomed from his synapses as he projected it onto the screen in front of him, like paint dropped into water. The electric fractal lines of the memory spread across the monitor until, almost imperceptibly, they began to coalesce into an image. Pale skin, long black hair, a wine-red birthmark on her right shoulder. Amin loved that birthmark. He loosened his hand from Laura's and reached up to touch it. Laura leaned back into him, pushing into his fingers. It was a late night, dimly moonlit as they walked back home. The humid air was soft, smelling faintly of city smells, not pleasant ones, but familiar enough to be comforting in their own way. Three doors in front of them, a young man, a boy really, maybe 15 or 16, stumbled and fell onto the pavement. Out of the murk came two other kids. "Bitch," one of them yelled, kicking at the boy's body, while the other filmed with his smartphone. The boy curled, instinctually, into a fetal position, arms crossed over his head, taking the abuse soundlessly. Amin and Laura froze. Laura was the first to react, turning to Amin and shaking him. "Amin, we have to help. We have to do something." Amin stood dumb, eyes wide and mouth sealed. It was all he could do to shake his head mutely. Laura's face crumpled as she saw him, petrified. "You can't just..." She touched him again, gently this time. "Amin?" "Let's just go," he whispered. "Cross the street. Call the cops." Laura took her hands off him. "I can't believe you," she whispered. Then she turned and walked toward the fight. "Hey," she yelled, making Amin and the kids beating up on the boy jump. "Get the fuck off him." Kids looked at each other for a moment and then ran. Laura rushed to the boy on the ground, who was already picking himself up. Even as she knelt down to help him up, he snarled at her. "Get away from me," he said, before scrabbling up off the ground and limp running in the opposite direction of his attackers. He almost ran into Amin, who still hadn't moved. Laura came back. Amin could hear the words hovering on her lips. She was too good to say them. Pathetic. Coward. Weak. "Come on," she said instead, a solid foot of space and silence between the two of them as they finished the walk home. Laura fished for the keys when they got to their door. They walked in and up to their apartment. Wordlessly, Laura headed for the bathroom. "Have you ever been hit before?" Amin suddenly asked to her back. Laura stopped and turned. "Has anyone ever tried to hurt you? Has anyone ever touched you to hurt you?" He was trembling now. "No," Amin said. "No one has. Not ever." He turned and walked back out the door. "Amin!" Laura shouted after him. The next morning, when Amin came back, Laura was sitting at the kitchen table. The breakfast she'd made for both of them was cold. Amin watched the memory play out on the screen in front of him. The clinic was perfectly clean, sterile even, all polished steel and white plastic, but it still felt shabby somehow. He watched the memory through a few more times, exhaled, and closed his eyes. Deep in his mind, Amin poked and prodded at the memory, smoothing out edges, molding it, editing it. The image on the screen flickered in stutter-stop motion with each tweak to reality, saving the changes Amin selected. When he was satisfied, Amin opened his eyes and reviewed the memory on the screen, watching it dispassionately. Nodding to himself, he keyed in a code to the console below the screen. A warning message flashed, asking for confirmation before final reification. Amin affirmed his informed consent without hesitation. Now the memory reversed its course, going from the screen back into Amin's mind at the speed of a neuron, through the wires synced into his brain. "Bitch," one of them yelled. Amin was the first to react, turning to Laura and taking her by the arm. "Let's approach together, make a lot of noise, but if they threaten us, we back off and call the cops." Laura nodded, and they charged. "Hey!" Laura yelled. "Get the fuck off him!" Kids looked at each other for a moment and then ran. Laura rushed to the boy on the ground, who was already picking himself up. Even as she knelt down to help him up, he snarled at her. "Get away from me," he said, before scrabbling him off the ground and shoving her violently so that she tripped and fell backward. Amin ran up behind her and caught her, just before she hit the ground. The boy limp ran off into the night. Pulling Laura up to her feet, Amin brought her in close to him. "You were amazing," he whispered to her, kissing the top of her head. She turned around to kiss him back. In the morning they woke up tangled together, sunlight streaming through the windows, warming their skin. Amin stirred first, waking Laura. She rolled over to face him. "Hi, babe," she said sleepily, smiling. Amin is 10. He's out with his father in the yard, in the small town in the desert where he grew up. It's summer, over 100 degrees every day. His father is holding a long knife and a whetstone, sharpening the blade rhythmically, trance-like. When he finishes, he sets the blade down on a bloody chopping block and goes to the chicken coop. He opens the door and reaches in. The hens cluck and flutter, kicking up wood shavings and their own excrement. He is patient and waits until they settle down. Then, gentle like a lie, he reaches under the breast of Amin's favorite, the old salt-and-pepper speckled hen who doesn't lay anymore. The speckled hen is different from the others. It's curious. It doesn't always stay with the flock, but looks around on its own. It comes up to you and pecks at your hand to see what you have, and it'll settle in and roost in your palm if you're quiet enough. Scooping up the old hen, Amin's father brings the bird back to his son. "Watch closely," he says. In a quick and practiced motion, he brings his free hand around the hen's neck and snaps it. Then he goes to the chopping block and runs the sharpened knife along the broken neck, letting the blood drain from the old bird. Amin turns and throws up. His father says nothing, but the contempt in his eyes is unmistakable as he takes in his son. Skinny arms, soft hands, trembling lips. "Go get the brown one. She doesn't lay enough, not worth her feed." Amin spits to clear his mouth and wobbles over to the coop, clucking and cooing like he always does when he goes out to the hens at night when he can't sleep. They come to him. He likes to bring them little treats, worms he digs up, grapes. They trust him. He picks up the brown, who's still pecking around his wrists, looking for the treat. "Kill it." Amin wants so badly to be strong. He's crying as he twists the neck, but his hands betray him, and he can't do it. All he does is rip out feathers and make the brown hen go ballistic in his hands. His father spits. "Stop, damn it, just stop." He walks over and grabs the bird roughly out of Amin's hands. Going back to the coop, he opens up the door and tosses the brown hen back inside. Dusting off his hands, he turns back to Amin. "Tomorrow," he says, before walking inside. Later, when he can't sleep, Amin goes to the hens, but they run back into a corner and huddle there, gibbering. Amin was jittery. He drummed his fingers nervously on the counter while the receptionist ran his credit card. He'd been dressed down at work in front of half of the office. It made him feel small. He still felt small. The receptionist finished taking his payment and handed him his credit card and the usual sheaf of paperwork. Not waiting to thank him, Amin fast walked into the first available booth he could find and sank into the editing chair, pasting the wires onto his head with a practiced ease. Amin sighed as the memory flowed out of him and onto the screen. It was cathartic. The electrical impulses resolved themselves into an image. It was a perfect fall morning, and the trees had drowned the hills in color. Amin had rented a car and left the city for the day, a quick escape to see the autumn brilliance. The hike he'd chosen wound through a forest up a hill to a gleaming white quartzite crag, where an arduous scramble up giant talus blocks led to a sweeping view of the valley below. The air was crisp and Amin felt strong. He walked fast and moved through the boulder field confidently and smoothly. Soon, breath coming hard and heart thrumming in his chest, he pulled over the last few boulders and took in the waves of blazing trees undulating out into the distance. Turning to admire the full view, Amin noticed another person on top of the cliff. A glum-looking woman, sun brightening her pale skin, sat cradling a bloodied, swollen knee. Amin walked over to her. "Are you okay?" he asked. The woman rolled her eyes. "Oh yeah, just fine." "Would you like some help getting down?" The woman frowned. "No," she sighed. "No, but..." She stood and took a few ginger testing steps. She winced, looked at Amin, and shrugged. "Well, my name's Laura," she said, sticking out her hand. "Amin," he replied, shaking it. It took hours to get down the trail. Laura refused the vast majority of Amin's help, but every once in a while, for a big gap between boulders or a steeper section on polished rock, she would use his shoulder for balance or grasp his hand to steady herself. It was dusk by the time they got back to the parking lot. They were sweaty, dirty, bloody, very hungry. Laura yawned and stretched like a cat. She turned to Amin, smiling. Hey, thanks. Oh, well, anyone would have helped. Laura laughed. Uh-huh, I doubt it. Would you, like to, Amin began. There's this great pizza place we passed right before getting back on the thruway. I can drive fine. Just follow me. Okay, Amin said, pulse quickening. Regarding the memory like a doctor, coldly and clinically, Amin reflected. What did it need to make it more satisfying, to make it right? What notes did he want to play for himself, drumming on his gray matter like a percussionist? Relaxing back into the chair, closing his eyes, Amin sighed contentedly as the memory began to morph. Sitting on top of the cliff, pale skin bathed in the sun, was a woman with tear-streaked cheeks, cradling her bloodied and swollen knee. Amin walked over to her. Are you okay? He asked. The woman rolled her eyes. Oh yeah, just fine. Amin chuckled. Here, I'll help you get down. The woman frowned and tried to get up. Amin saw her wince and rushed over, taking her by the arm to help her to her feet. The woman looked at Amin gratefully. My name's Laura, by the way, she said. Amin. They stared at each other for a moment. It took hours to get down the trail. Laura leaned on Amin the whole time. Sometimes, for the trickier sections, Amin would pick her up bodily and hoist her from one boulder to the other. It was dusk by the time they got back to the parking lot. They were sweaty, dirty, bloody, and very hungry. Laura yawned and stretched like a cat, still hanging on to Amin. She turned to him and smiled. Hey, thanks. Oh, well, anyone would have helped. Laura laughed, putting a hand on his chest. Uh-huh, I doubt it. Hey, let's go get some food. I can drive your car. I'll send someone from the rental company to pick this one up. There's this pizza place on the way to the thruway, Laura said, handing Amin the keys. Perfect, he said, tossing them into the air and catching them again. Amin is 10. He's out with his father in the yard. The hens cluck and flutter, kicking up wood shavings in their own excrement. His father reaches under the breast of Amin's favorite, the old salt and pepper speckled hen. The speckled hen is more or less the same as the others. Amin likes the color, though. Scooping up the old hen, Amin's father brings the bird back to his son. Watch closely, he says. In a quick and practiced motion, he brings his free hand around the hen's neck and snaps it. Then he goes to the chopping block and runs the sharpened knife along the broken neck. Amin turns and retches. His father says nothing. Go get the brown one. She doesn't lay enough, not worth her feed. Amin sets his shoulders and walks over to the coop. Clucking and cooing like he always does, they come to him. He always brings them little treats to trick them into trusting him. He picks up the brown, who's still pecking around his wrists, looking for the treat. Kill it. Amin wants so badly to be strong. He's almost crying as he twists the neck. His hands tremble, and on the first turn he can't do it. All he does is rip out feathers and make the brown hen go ballistic in his hands. He tries again, and this time his grip is true, and the bird falls limp in his shaking hands. His father spits. Bleed it, pluck it, we'll have it this evening. Later, when he can't sleep, Amin goes to the hens, but they run away from him. They lay nestled in each other. Amin nuzzled deeper into the crook of Laura's neck, making himself small. Thank you, he sighed. For what? Laura asked, tracing his spine up his back with her fingertips. For letting me be like this. Like what? Laura ran a hand through Amin's hair, twining it and tugging on it gently. You don't need my permission to be vulnerable. You don't need anyone's, just your own. Amin turned over to face her. She kissed him lightly on the lips. I love this, you know, that you're gentle, sensitive, that you admit you have feelings. It takes strength to be that way. I wish you'd believe that. Laura cupped Amin's cheek with her hand. You don't have to change. She paused, lingering over the words. I don't want you to change yourself. What do you mean? Amin said, pulling away slightly. I found a bill in the trash. It was torn up, but... Why were you looking in the trash? I wasn't. I just saw it, out of the corner of my eye. I can't totally delete this, Amin thinks, annoyed that any polishing of this moment would be imperfect. Need to remember to hide the bills better. Okay, Amin said. So? I like this you. I want this you. What if I don't like this me? Amin replied. Laura reached out again. She traced his lips with a forefinger, frowning. Amin took her hand. What if there's a better me? Laura shook her head. You don't get it. I don't want you to be some stud action hero who carries a damsel in distress down a mountain. What you give me is so much better than that. As I recall, I have carried you down a mountain. Laura blinked. What? What about what I want, Laura? What I need to be for myself? I carried you down that mountain. My arms were sore for days. Laura gaped at Amin. Oh my God, she mumbled. Are you serious? That's what I remember. Amin, babe, that's not what happened. That's not what happened. Amin turned away again, curling up. You changed it. You changed the memory, Laura whispered to his back, disbelieving. You changed me. It's what I remember, Amin repeated tersely, raging at her for ruining his perfect fall day, for the extra work she was creating for him, the layers and nuance he would have to build into the new memory to smooth out this double layer of doubt. Laura jumped out of the sheets and threw on her clothes. Amin closed his eyes and stayed in bed, motionless. Laura went into the living room. Amin could hear her pacing. He began to cry. When she finally came back in, Amin tried to pretend he was asleep. Laura put a hand on his shoulder and rolled him over. I'm sorry, Amin said, eyes red. Shh, Laura whispered, kissing him on the forehead. Please, please just believe me. I want you like this, like you are. But you can't change me for yourself. Because this is me. I can't be a lie for you. Amin nodded, reaching out to pull Laura closer to him. They fitted themselves back together. Promise me you won't, Laura mumbled in his ear. I promise, Amin whispered back, hating himself, as Laura encircled him in her arms to hold him. Methodically, Amin reviewed the last few years of his life. He moved slowly, intently, sifting through the whirring stream coming out from his mind and onto the screen. Like pruning a sickly plant, wherever he found a memory of visiting the clinic, he cut it out, replacing it with something mundane and innocuous. When Amin came to the day itself, the very moment he was in, he paused. He couldn't alter the memory he would have of walking out of the clinic, but he could blur its basis, subtly altering the moment he entered the clinic a few hours previously. Amin shifted not the actual memory of going in, but what his intent was. He hadn't come to hack his experience of the world. He'd come to a safe place, a reliable place, a place of healing. Therapy. A therapist's office with a fantastic doctor that he could go to anytime at all, whenever something was wrong. Every time something was wrong. Amin is 10. The hens cluck and flutter. His father reaches under the breast of the old salt and pepper speckled hen. Then he brings the bird back to his son. Watch closely, he says. In a quick and practiced motion, he brings his free hand around the hen's neck and snaps it. Amin watches, blank-faced. His father says nothing. Go get the brown one. She doesn't lay enough. Not worth her feed. Amin sets his shoulders and walks over to the coop. He reaches in and snatches up the squirming brown. Kill it. Amin is strong. It takes him 2 tries, but he wrings the hen's neck. His father spits and puts a hand on Amin's shoulder. Bleed it. Pluck it. We'll have it this evening. Later, they eat the chicken in a stew. It is the best thing Amin has ever tasted. Work had been going well. Amin was respected. His boss had even put him in line for a promotion. It hadn't happened yet. Bureaucracy, paperwork. But Amin was in no rush. He had been going to the gym. The muscle hadn't quite appeared in the mirror, but he knew he'd been working out hard and was strong. Amin knew he was happy. Even so, sometimes he would have nightmares, painful dreams that he never remembered in the morning. He would come awake with a start, sometimes crying, sometimes screaming, but always waking Laura, who would look at him fearfully, dark circles ringing her eyes from nights of poor sleep. She'd taken to sleeping on the couch so that she was rested enough for work the next day, something Amin totally understood. Amin chalked his happiness up to his excellent therapist. He left each session feeling lighter, almost like he'd been emptied out. He was just walking home from there now, reflecting on how lucky he was to have such a full and fulfilling life. He climbed up the stairs to his apartment and opened the door. Laura was standing in the kitchen, crying, when Amin walked in. Amin had never seen Laura cry. Not once, except for the day they'd met. His stomach immediately clenched, the anxiety hitting him like a physical force. She turned to look at him, half smiling, a stutter-stop smile. Oh, hi, she said. Love, are you... what's wrong? Laura laugh-cried. Oh, nothing, remember that night? That night when the boy got jumped right in front of us? Of course, yeah, of course. I never said it. I made breakfast the next day. For us. But what I meant was, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. I didn't think about what it must have been like for you growing up with your dad and I. Hey, shh. What are you talking about? You didn't do anything wrong. You were amazing. We chased them off, and then we had a beautiful morning together. Laura gasped and turned away. He walked toward her, tentatively reaching out. She moved further away. Babe, I don't get it. She was shaking, from tears or anger, Amin couldn't say. You stopped even trying to hide the bills. You promised, and now you don't even try, she finished, facing him again. Amin tried to say something but could only stutter. He was sweating. Looking down, he noticed the invoices scattered on the kitchen table. But those come every month, Amin thought to himself. I don't remember. In the back of his mind, Amin was already anticipating his next visit to the therapist, thinking about ways to smooth over this uncomfortable moment. I don't understand what's wrong. Exactly, Laura yelled. She paused, breathing deeply. I don't know who you are anymore, she said more quietly, walking back to him. She put out a hand and touched Amin's cheek. How do I even know who I am to you anymore? Laura, I can't. I don't get it. I'm me. Just me. But who's that? Laura whispered, kissing Amin, still crying. She turned and walked into their bedroom and came back out with a duffel bag already packed on her shoulder. Laura, Amin started. Shh, she said, not meeting his eyes. Bye, Amin. She walked out the door. Amin ran to the clinic, sweating and shaking, feeling like something in his skull was being split apart. The pain in his brain was hideous, and he couldn't get at it, not without his therapist's help. Slamming his credit card on the counter, he stumbled past the orderly and dove into the first empty booth he saw. He sank the electrodes into his skull. The relief was instantaneous, like peeing after holding it forever, like taking morphine after surgery. He flung the contents of his mind onto the screen like he was purging himself into a toilet bowl. The memory dribbled out, snaps and flashes of images that Amin barely had the self-control to look at. Who you are anymore? True? Bye, Amin. Nothing, nothing, Amin shrieked at the screen. Just nothing. The memory rushed back into him. He's 10. Knife in hand, Amin rushes out of the house. He kicks in the door of the chicken coop and runs in. The hens shriek. Amin lashes out and savages them with a knife. Blood and feathers spray everywhere, coating Amin. His father runs out behind him, watching with pride. Covered in chicken gore, holding the carcass of an old speckled hen, Amin grins at him. Good job, son, his father says, tossing Amin's hair. Amin looks over his kill, panting and triumphant. Blood drips from the hen, a livid red in the evening light. He can't wait to butcher and cook it. He looks to his father, who nods, smiling. Amin bends down, mouth open in anticipation of this magnificent feast. Amin was sitting in the park, by himself. It was a beautiful day. He'd brought a new book that had sucked him in. He'd spent a few hours lost in the world of the novel. Getting up from the bench, he stretched and wandered back through the trees to a little restaurant he liked. The special that day was a roasted chicken. Amin frowned, hands twitching as they involuntarily curled around air. He liked to get the special, but hated chicken, never liked the taste of it for some reason. He ordered a salad instead. Amin's number came up and he went to the counter to get his food. Looking around for a place to sit, he noticed a long picnic table out in the sun. There was a pale, dark-haired woman sitting there, with an eye-catching, reddish-purple birthmark on her shoulder. She was reading the same book that had so engrossed him. The woman sighed and put down the book. Turning her head, she saw Amin and stiffened. The red highlights in her birthmark stood out lividly in the bright sunlight. The two stared at each other. Maybe I should talk to her, Amin thought. He walked over to introduce himself.
Thanks for listening to Asimov's Spotlight, a feature of Asimov's Science Fiction Magazine. If you liked what you've heard, consider subscribing to Asimov's. We're available in print and digital. And please stop by again next month to hear another exciting story chosen from our pages.